Andy Voigt has found his way to success. He describes himself as a film nerd for MMMQB, and I completely agree with that, and I love him for it. You can follow him on Twitter, Andy_Benoit. Andy, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm well. How are you guys all?
Oh, you know, it's Friday, Andy. I mean, come on. We're almost done here, and then it's football time. One thing I love about you above all is you just go so deep beyond all the hyperbole that's out there, and you put out stuff by watching film that's just undeniable facts. So I will start with the story really of the day. Rob Gronkowski out most likely the entire season for the Patriots. In your mind, what does this do to the Patriots' chances to come out of the AFC?
Well, anytime you remove a player of that caliber, and I think we all agree that Gronkowski is whatever the highest shelf of superstar can be, that's the one he's on. Anytime you eliminate that guy, that's going to have an impact, certainly. But what I look at when there are injuries, every team has injuries, and the case 99 times out of 100 is the guy who replaces the injured guy. That guy is not going to be as talented. That's why he was the backup, and that's why he's now replacing him. So every team's going to have to deal with that. What you then shift to is, okay, the less talented guy's in there, but do they have to change their style and approach to the game because of that? And in New England's case, I think the answer there is no. Martellus Bennett can still do, stylistically, he can do a lot of what Gronkowski did. They were wanting to become a two tight end offense with Bennett and Gronkowski. That never really fully came to fruition anyway this year because of injuries to Gronkowski earlier. So they become a very good three wide receiver offense. And now Bennett becomes the guy at tight end in the three receiver offense. The other thing that you have to factor in is Deion Lewis came back a few weeks ago, their running back. He's not a Gronkowski-type weapon, of course, but he is a mismatch maker, and you can align him in a variety of spots in the formation, pretty much anywhere except tight end, in fact. Slot receiver, wide receiver, running back, offset back. And when you do that with a movable running back like that, you force the defense to reveal their coverage oftentimes before the snap by how they match up to them. So New England still gets that mismatch-making element. They have a dynamic element to their offense again. It's not as dominant of a player, but stylistically they can do all the things they've been doing all season long still.
Andy, looking at the Raiders, obviously being the home of the Raiders, they're 9-2 right now, 5-game win streak for them. I think one of the most impressive things about this team has been their ability to come from behind in fourth quarters. When you look at game film of this team, what do you see in the fourth quarter with Derek Carr and the rest of that offense that enables them to do that?
Well, Carr can, as they say, make all the throws. There's no question about that. He's a tremendous talent. And when you have a quarterback that can do that, the other team that's had a lot of fourth quarter comebacks this year and over the years is Detroit. And the commonality there is Matthew Stafford's a guy that can make all the throws. And in the fourth quarter of games, there are times where you need to make throws that you would normally not make. You have to press the issue a little bit. And that's where arm talent really rises up. People, it's become chic to say arm talent's overrated, the NFL arm strength's overrated. It's not. It matters. Accuracy certainly matters, and so does arm strength, and so does your throwing motion. And Stafford, Carr, guys like that that have that quick, tight, snappy release, they have an advantage in those kind of moments. So the other thing Oakland does very well is, and it's not necessarily purely a fourth quarter thing, but it can show up, and it has shown up in the fourth quarter, especially against zone defenses. They identify your most prominent zones, and they put in special formations that exploit those and get the matchups that they want. The best example actually came in the fourth quarter against Carolina last week. The big throw down the middle to Michael Crabtree, they got him matched up on linebacker A.J. Klein, and that's because they understood at that part of the field and in that moment of the game, Carolina is going to play Tampa 2 coverage there, and they knew if we put Crabtree in the inside slot and run him deep, the only guy who can cover him in Tampa 2 would be the linebacker. So they've done a tremendous job with that each game this year. They do it about 2 or 3 times a game. That's how they get their big shot plays in. And that was a huge one. That's a great illustration of what this Raiders offense has been about.
Andy Benoit of MMQB.com with us on KHTK. Andy, behind your guys like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, there's kind of this subsect of other star quarterbacks that are like A-minus, B-plus guys that are prolific, like Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan, you know, guys like that. Derek Carr right now is putting up huge numbers, and I'm wondering, do you see him closer to being in that Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady class, or is he kind of that B-plus type of guy that can put up a ton of good numbers but really needs help around him to be on a winner?
Well, that's an interesting question because it's a variety of all those. He's not a guy that necessarily needs help around him. Talent-wise, he can be in that Brady, Rodgers type of class. Watching him on film this season, and the reason I think, to be frank, I don't think he's anywhere near the MVP. He'll be in the discussion because they have the best record. He has nice numbers, and that's how voters think about things. But he has not played anywhere near an MVP level when you watch him on film. He still will leave a few throws on the field. There are times where he doesn't play on time mentally. He'll get off of good reads too early before they materialize, or he'll stay on bad ones too long. These are not egregious things, but they're elements, they're hiccups in his quarterbacking that show up not every week, but they've shown up more weeks than not. And that's the kind of stuff that you don't see from Brady, Breeze, Rivers, Roethlisberger, these really good, polished, veteran superstar quarterbacks. So he can, and that can be learned with experience, and I think it will be, but that's where he's at right now. And I hope they're coaching him hard there in Oakland and really holding him accountable, because he's a very talented player and he can be in the discussion we're having about him.
Andy Benoit, MMQB. God, I want to throw three M's in there. Joining us back on November 2nd, you wrote, a very interesting article. And the lead was really Derek Carr isn't as good as you think. And that caught my attention and got my ire up a little bit because I think he's phenomenal. And this is what's great about what you do is you explain yourself through film and through screenshots. And I want to point out one in particular. It was the game versus Jacksonville. To your point about how Derek Carr will stay on bad reads sometimes, they designed a fake slot swing pass to attack Jalen Ramsey, the rookie out of Florida State, hoping he'd abandon that outside vertical coverage, which is exactly what happened. But before Amari Cooper, who you also call maybe the most patient route runner in the game already, had a chance to lure Jalen to sleep, Derek Carr was focused on Latavius Murray, the check down, who hadn't even left the backfield yet. And you break that down very well on the screenshots. And guess what? The trap worked. Cooper was way, way in the clear for a touchdown, but Carr dumped it off to Murray. He's had three straight wins since that article was written. Are you seeing any improvement?
Yeah, I have seen. He has not done that as much, and that's I appreciate you bringing that up, because that was the best and probably most glaring illustration of the kind of stuff we're talking about, that he's done a little bit too much. He has not done that as much the last few weeks, so it's been better. He wasn't – what he has done, though, that's kind of given a caveat to it. He's made a few bad decisions where that check down, that's kind of, I mean, it's a bad decision, but he's made a few erroneous decisions and he's had a turnover in each game because of that. The Carolina game, he only had the one interception was his only negative play, the interception to Thomas Davis. The week before that in Mexico against Houston, he had more of those plays than you want to see. He was pretty uneven, but as far as reading the field, he has been better there. And that example that you brought up that was from that article, when a fan's watching that at home on TV, nine times out of 10, the announcer's probably going to say, and he gets to his check down, and that's the smart play, and hey, he's being patient. A lot of times those check downs, they're not always the smart play, and what will never be captured statistically are passes that should be thrown that are not thrown. And that's where the difference comes in with Carr. But to answer your question, he's been better about that the last month or so.
I'm telling you, Andy Benoit's work is phenomenal. If you're a football fan, it's something you shouldn't miss. For examples just like that and much, much more. You can also follow him in addition to getting him at MMQB.com. You can follow him on Twitter, Andy_Benoit. We appreciate the time. I enjoy your work, Andy. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you very much.
All right, take care. That's Andy Benoit. We got to get out of here. We're late for a break. Ken Rudolph, when we get back with today's news and notes as we wrap up the week on The Drive. Don't go away. No flipping. Sports 1140 KHTK.